Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 59 for June 25th, 2006. And joining us now on the TWiT round table, which is actually not round. If I were to draw, it's probably more like a
map of internet.
A map of the internet. Very good.
It would be a star topography.
I was thinking maybe geographically, but you're right. It's more like a cloud, isn't it? John C. Dvorak is here, dvorak.org/blog, from his
Hello.
Home in the East Bay. Robert Herron is here from, are you at your home in the East Bay as well?
I am.
So that's a really a big bump we've got there over in the East. From the city of San Francisco proper, we've got Mr. Patrick Norton. And I think, Roger, are you in San Francisco too?
Yes.
All right. And we're hoping Kevin Rose will join us a little later on to talk about, to crow about Dig 3.0. But meanwhile, it's kind of a back to roots edition of Dig because we've been on the road, we've been traveling. We did the hated... Did I say dig? I did. TWiT. I'm sorry. I'm just wishful thinking. This is the Back to the Roots episode of TWiT. But we are, after the hated 57, I thought we'd... No more interlopers.
Roger, 57 was really hated?
Oh, wow. You obviously didn't visit the website.
Oh, you know, I have such a pathological sort of hate... You know, hate relationship to comments on boards.
Oh, these were the most vile, insulting comments.
Oh man,
we'll never get.
Did you have to censor any of them?
I censored a few because there were a few that were gay bashing, which I got rid of.
Oh,
but
what's
you
up
know,
with that?
The people really hated a couple of the participants. I won't name names on the show. But I take the blame because I think it was really a sound quality issue, frankly. And as you know, John and Patrick, because you were there, you couldn't hear. Nobody could hear anybody. So, of course, we were all talking over each other.
Right.
That wasn't anybody's fault but mine. So I take the blame for that. You know what we did, though, that was kind of fun is I posted the raw tracks, you know, because we 8-tracked it and asked people to remix. And we've gotten, unfortunately, we got so much response. I have dozens of these remixes. I haven't had time to go through them all, so I'm going to have to, as soon as I get a chance, I'm going to post them and give people a chance.
There's probably one with a bunch of, like, fart noises overlaid.
No doubt.
Additional subliminals.
I mentioned it last week. There's one funny one that's a minute long, and it's just the open and the close.
Oh, man.
Which was kind of a commentary.
A true fan.
So we've all been playing, before the show started, with Windows Live, because Robert, I guess, uses the traffic reports in Windows Live, and it was...
Yeah, and I kept calling it local.live.com. Because that's the web address, but it's actually live local. They should switch those two words in the URL. And
well, because Windows Live is the registered trademark, right?
But gotcha.
You're right.
Yeah.
The URL screwed up.
The URL on mine says local.live.com.
Right, but on the page it says live.local.
Live local.
It's completely one or the other.
Hey, anyway, I'm looking at this traffic thing right now. What's so special about it?
John, for those of us who actually leave our homes on a regular basis and travel in what would be considered prime commuting hours, the opportunity to afford a greater knowledge of what misfit has, you know, sideswiped a semi, rolled three times, and blocked traffic on 80 for 4 hours is incredibly useful.
But I do have to say one thing. I agree with John in one respect. At least in the Bay Area, there aren't any alternate routes. So all you do is...
Actually, there are.
Well, they're not many. It's not like LA where you can go in three different
ways. What's the alternate route across the Bay Bridge?
Well, 90, for me though, how it's bad it is and where you're going.
It's the choice between the 580 and the 880. Like if you're looking at the map right now, there's a slowdown around the Coliseum for probably a game or something. So I'd know just to jump over to the 580 and roll to the 80 that
now,
way.
Now, Robert, when you do that, you should pound your chest. This is Captain Robert in the TWiT Skybird, and we can have our own traffic report. The first podcast with traffic reports.
Real time.
Actually, I mean, when I brought home the traffic gauge, when I started doing testing for that one, which is like a handheld regional version of this for LA and the Bay Area and Seattle, my wife, who had just finished a 2 years of a 500-mile-a-week round-trip commute down to Santa Clara, she liked actually watching it to see all of the traffic jams she wasn't running into anymore.
I do the same thing now because I no longer drive into San Francisco like I did.
Well, it's a nice cheat because you can do a quick eyeball and figure out if the Bay Bridge is screwed up and maybe you'll leave an hour later, right?
It's just cool. I mean, we should give the URL. It was in the show notes, but local.live.com. And then it's the traffic. Where does this traffic information come from?
Traffic.com.
Yeah.
So there is so there's now universal traffic information?
No, there's actually regional, like Caltrans generates the traffic data. Caltrans generates, and I don't know the name of the organization that does it up in Seattle.
And then traffic.com aggregates the official information.
Yeah, they've got it for like Seattle, Portland, Salt Lake, Denver, Minneapolis, and there's if you go to traffic.com, they've got a list of all the major areas they hit.
Cool.
See, it even provides event information as well, like they're talking about tonight's game for the Giants and the gay pride parade happening right now and what to avoid or what streets you'd probably want to avoid if you're trying to drive into that area.
So there's a Giants game and a gay pride parade?
Yep.
Wow.
They belong together.
Probably one.
I think they should. The Giants should maybe get some of those guys to play on the team.
That would certainly help.
It would be cool if they could integrate mass transit, like how full a car is or how soon.
I think
it's
in some areas they do. I mean, if if BART's on time, it probably indicates it somewhere.
So I'm looking at this map, and I see the 880 going past the Coliseum, but it's got like a green color and an orange color. I mean, what is that supposed to mean?
That's because they monitor sections of the highway. So you can see where
I'm
like,
right in the middle of the highway, I go faster or slower? I go slower.
No, it means, John, it means if you're, think about it, how many times you run into southbound on 880,
one way
right,
is okay.
That crush in between Alameda and Union City.
Different directions.
Or basically, you can tell when the airport's getting hammered in Oakland.
Yeah. Right? Zoom in, John, then you can see that it's actually different lanes. It's one different directions. You have to zoom in. Yeah, Robert was pointing out that the scroll wheel works with the zoom, which is very cool. And it works on Firefox on the Mac, which is kind of surprising, given it's a Microsoft product.
I zoomed in and the thing went dead out.
you zoomed too far.
No, it turns. It's just a solid beige screen. Wait, just three of us are looking at it. It went down. Is that what happened?
Maybe.
We killed it.
Zoom back, John. Zoom. For God's sakes, pull out.
Pull out.
Hey, right above the little compass thing, it says road and aerial. You click on aerial to get the satellite view, which is kind of cool.
So as long as we're talking about it, any other any other websites? Everybody's now trying to. It's funny that we're back to the portal page.
The satellite view is giving me a black screen with some cute lines running down it. I'm not happy with this.
You're at like 8 feet above the ground, John.
Are you on dial-up?
No, he zoomed. Look at the lower right-hand corner and tell me what the little gauge down there that says the scale. What does it say?
I've zoomed out to 1 mile.
Zoom out a couple more miles.
It's starting to sound like we're talking to Grandpa.
Hey, you kids,
click
get off
the start
my lawn.
Menu. John,
kids,
John.
And your traffic monitors and your portals.
So,
I hear all these raves from you guys, and I look at this thing, and I'm not seeing what the rave is.
I'm not sure I would make it my start page on the internet, but I guess if I drove a lot, I would.
It's a useful tool.
Using public
traffic.
Transit. I'm avoiding all this traffic completely.
Yes.
I'm avoiding going to the news because we have our associate news editor, Fred F. from the UK, has been putting in stories, and there's like 8 million stories in here.
So
there's quite a few to go through.
Talk about Blu-ray.
Let's talk about Blu-ray.
Because we're still waiting. Our Blu-ray box is supposed to show up Friday, so hopefully it'll be in Monday.
The first Blu-ray players are now shipping.
From Samsung, Sony's are delayed another month, or 3 months, or 6 months, or they're going to drop it to push PS3 sales. But we've had one of the desktop VIOs and a notebook VIO in-house. And I got to tell you, the Blu-ray software that they ship with the VIOs really needs some more time in the oven.
Uh-oh. What's wrong? What goes wrong?
It doesn't work.
We're still waiting for Sony to get back to us to explain why the stuff on the desktop doesn't work.
You would
and
think
they're blaming
that
architecture issues on the notebooks for its occasional slowdowns while playing video.
Hey, Patrick?
Yeah.
Can you ask Sony a question when you're going through the discussion on this thing? I'd like to know exactly how their primary competitor in consumer electronics, Samsung, manages to roll out what's essentially Sony's product before Sony.
Good question.
Just ask them. Say, you know, ask them and see what they say.
Actually, you know what I think it really is? I think Samsung's trying to grow in the consumer electronics market in the United States, and they're willing to take entry-level risks with stuff like the ultra-mobile PC and the initial Blu-ray player.
They're just throwing a bunch of stuff out and see what sticks.
Now, according to PC World, Samsung is considering a dual-format player later this year.
And so is LG. They already have them ready to go.
So this is we've talked about this before. John's contention is that they signed secret agreements preventing them from doing that.
Totally. I have a conspiracy theory about the whole thing, and that's that Sony won't let anyone release a Blu-ray player for under $1,000 until the PS3 ships, which will make that the cheapest Blu-ray player.
This is according to PC World.
Total speculation.
An assistant manager in Samsung's home platform product planning division said, "We don't have plans to make an HD DVD only player, but are considering a universal player. We're preparing HD DVD support now, and if we launch a universal player, it'll be the end of this year or early next year. Samsung thinks Blu-ray will beat HD DVD, but they will consider a dual format player. And Primera is shipping now a Blu-ray duplicator, which will make it much easier to pirate movies. 50 discs at a time. I like it.
Well, we actually have the Pioneer Blu-ray disc burner in.
How much? So these Blu-rays are a higher data density than the HD DVD. I mean, they're better for computers.
Right. Yeah. 25.
Yeah.
25 gigabytes.
Forget the movie aspect of it. How are they as backup devices or copy? You know, how's the burner? Is it good?
The phrase slow comes to mind.
It is a lot of data you're putting down.
Yeah, I mean, is it slow relative to the amount of data, or is it actually slower than a DVD burning
Well, it's slow relative to what you're used to with existing optical disc.
Well, I remember the same thing happened when you went from CD to DVD, is it seemed really slow, but you're burning 10 times the data.
Yeah.
You know, or 8 times the data.
It'll be good. It's expensive, but, you know,
How does it look? Has anybody seen a movie on the Blu-ray yet?
Not yet. It looks exactly like an HDVD disc, only with a different logo. I mean, it's a little more purple.
Now, the Samsung does support 1080p, which the HDs do not yet.
Supposedly.
Supposedly. This is all spec. But are there any 1080p movies to play back?
They're all 1080p.
Okay. All the HD DVDs are 1080p, Leo.
Even though the players can't support it.
Isn't
well,
it cruel
the player
and ironic?
May very well have digital out at 1080p, but yeah. That'll be something we'll try immediately.
That's the other thing is we've got a Toshiba HD DVD player coming in again, hopefully on Monday. And supposedly they've done a firmware patch on it that alleviates a lot of our frustration with the first generation Toshiba HD DVD players. So.
Did you see the argument, and I thought it was pretty coherent from, let me see if I can find the source, the guy saying, forget it, they're both going to lose. The war is over.
Who wins?
I think
Internet to the fiber to the curb.
Yeah, that's coming tomorrow, right, no problem.
Yeah.
Well, if they take any longer to get this stuff out, it's from audioholics.com, top 10 reasons why high-definition DVD formats have already failed. Shall I run by the reasons? Number
one,
it's
not dramatic enough compared to DVDs. There's not market saturation. There's competing formats.
Oh, you could write this article yourself. This is what they say. Nobody likes false starts, which I think is probably true,
right.
But it's not going to kill anything.
There's been plenty of them that have done very well.
That's right. Number two, format wars don't sell players. I think that's a compelling argument.
Yeah, they do. That creates competition, which lowers prices, which does sell players.
But it scares consumers.
I can rebut everyone.
I know you can. And by the way, you could also have written this article. It doesn't matter to John.
I take either side.
Either side. HD, DVD, and Blu-ray are not quantum leaps in technology in the way that, I guess, DVD was. In other words, I guess he's saying they're not, and I've said this before, they're not that much
DVD
better.
DVD over VHS was significantly more dramatic. Than
you start going into multi-layers, you can store a lot of data on one of these discs you'll never be able to store on a DVD.
Studios.
Yeah, but John, a lot of people are looking at these on smaller monitors and going, huh, looks like my DVD.
Right.
I know, I'm talking about in terms of raw storage capability for backup purposes. We got terabyte drives coming.
Well, that's
we
a different
put that data
that's,
someplace.
That's a different conversation. That's the data storage conversation versus the movie format.
Hey, John.
I mean, I think this is all about whether this is a movie format, not whether it's...
It's the highest quality consumer format we've ever had.
Yeah,
I haven't
but
been on for a couple of weeks, so I'm argumentative. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. He saved it up. He hasn't wasted it on anybody else. Studios are conservative, greedy, and unmotivated.
Well, that'll never change.
Okay, I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, well, no offense, but they were greedy and unmotivated when VHS came out and Betamax.
So they're conservative, as in a result, they won't you know, miss out on this.
Conservative.
But you have to say that the list of titles we talked about last week, the list of titles are not impressive. Unless you're a Mila Yo-Yo. And by the way, I found out it's not Jovovich, it's Yo-Wo-Witch. So unless you're a Mila Wo-Wo-Witch man, or is it Wo-Wo-Vitch? I don't know.
There's 90 titles out, 96 titles out now for
HD, HD. But for Blu-ray, there's only a handful.
It's 75 listed right now, but yeah.
PlayStation 3 cannot save the world. Those who ignore history, People want technology that's 15 minutes ahead of its time. Enthusiasts are getting tired and smarter. A skeptical news media doesn't help. I guess that's us. Broadband and IPTV to compete? Question mark. That's the argument.
Any place but the USA.
Debunked. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly, well, John.
I think AT&T and Comcast would like to crush the DVD where it
Did
lies.
Did you see the video of the Comcast technician sleeping on the guy's couch?
I don't blame the poor guy.
He was on hold for an hour with Comcast.
Doesn't even have a special number to make it any quicker on his own end.
He falls asleep. He's got his laptop and his
poor
knees.
Contractor.
Yeah, he's not. He's probably not even an employee, right? He's just a contractor.
No, of course
fast
not.
Asleep.
You know, we should put a website up with that stuff because I had a guy fall asleep in my driveway once from Sprint.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, I went out there. I was wondering what was going on because I was waiting here.
Was
and
snoozing.
The guy went outside just to get something. I went out there. He's dead snoring and is in his right in the front seat. Unbelievable.
Sorry, John. Was at a major kegger last night.
you were an overwhelming client.
I don't blame
in every
him.
Industry.
I think John's fallen asleep during Twit, so, you know, I'm not going to say.
Huh? Don't encourage him.
According to Radio Sweden, the White House ordered the Pirate Bay website closure. In fact, they've got documents to prove
it. I love this story.
What's the backstory on that? Because I saw the title, but I couldn't find the link to the actual article. What are they saying?
I'll tell you. They claim they've got the documents that show the U.S. threatened to go to the World Trade Organization. This is the same thing the U.S. is doing, by the way, to Russia over all of MP3.com to impose economic sanctions against Sweden if the site, Pirate Bay, which is, of course, a big BitTorrent tracker, was not stopped. It came through the American Embassy in Stockholm. According to the documents, chief prosecutor from the Swedish government was called to the Justice Ministry and ordered to take action.
They'll take action.
You will take action? You
hey,
will
Patrick,
close them down.
I got to ask you something. You know, Pat, you said you couldn't get, you know, I found that that link died too, and I'm wondering if that in itself isn't kind of suspicious.
Suspicious.
They're only told to take down the site, but take down references to it.
Or
references
in my mind,
to the White House order closure.
It proves the contention. That's all I needed.
Yeah.
I know it's true now.
Just a thought.
Well, probably what they would have done is thrown up tariffs for all or exports out of Sweden to the U.S.
I think the sad thing is the Swedish police are now going to just eat crow because they're getting sued by all the companies they put offline by taking their servers. The whole thing looks terrible. And Pirate Bay's back in operation from Sweden. So it accomplished absolutely nothing.
Well, it disrupted a lot of other businesses.
Oh, there you go. So where do you think Larry Ellison stashed that $115 million he said he was given Harvard? Did you see that story?
Tell us the story, Leo. That's a great story.
Larry Ellison, a year ago, pledges he will give $115 million to Harvard, the single largest contribution in the university's history. Harvard finally gets tired of waiting, goes to the press on Wednesday, says, we haven't gotten anything. In fact, school officials have spent months trying to get Larry to talk to them. Larry never paid us, said Harvard spokeswoman Sarah Friedel.
He didn't have to pay. He already got the publicity.
He got everything he wanted.
You know, he did this apparently once before.
Really?
That's,
Yeah, there was another. I heard the reference on one of the broadcasts that he apparently stiffed somebody else.
Well, it's working because in October, Forbes magazine listed him as one of the top 10 philanthropists in the business world,
based on the non-existent donation to Harvard
from his announcement.
Yeah, good work, Forbes.
Nice job.
It looks good on paper.
Oracle is declining to comment, so maybe there's some truth to this. Maybe did you see that Warren Buffett? This was actually announced today, and I don't have it in our notes yet. Warren Buffett has said that he's going to give 85% of his fortune away, just like his buddy Bill Gates, the number one richest man in the world. Warren's number two. And of that, about $30 billion will go to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Isn't that great?
Cool.
That's that foundation will now have, well, he's not going to do it all at once, but he's pledged, just like Larry Ellison. He's pledged.
The United Way is putting together an antitrust suit as we speak.
I wouldn't be surprised. We want some of that. He's pledged what will be, you know, basically double the endowment of the foundation, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I do love the fact that Berkshire Hathaway's stock price is per share price is $3,071 on Friday.
He doesn't believe in splits, apparently.
No, not at all.
Love that.
The first installment is currently worth about $1.6 billion at today's Berkshire Hathaway price. For this year, $1.6 billion. I think that's pretty impressive.
That's a good tax write-off.
Didn't Ted Turner promise to give the UN $1 billion? Whatever happened to that?
No, I think he actually paid off the U.S. owed.
He paid off that portion of the debt.
He did. And he actually did it.
Yeah.
Good for him.
But I think that was a one-time because, you know, like all payments, the UN dues are annual.
So he's not taking it on forever.
No.
Just the old stuff.
Take care of the back rent.
You know, Warren Buffett, the real connection between Warren Buffett, I think, and Bill Gates is that they both love to play bridge. In fact, whenever they're together, I understand, they hole up together and just play bridge for hours, all night.
They love playing bridge.
They love bridge. Have you ever noticed that they're big bridge? Are you a bridge? You seem like you'd be a bridge player, John.
You know, that's funny you'd say that because when I was in the University of California, one of my roommates was the state national champion. Wow. And I could have learned the game from him, but what did I do instead?
What did you do?
I don't want to say.
He was part of the free speech movement, I think. You were out there making speeches and rabble-rousing, weren't you?
I should have been learning bridge. That's all I can say.
You know, it would be interesting if someone could do an analysis of all the great philanthropists, you know, Carnegie and did Morgan
Rockefeller.
Ever give away? Rockefeller.
I think, yeah.
If they played bridge.
Maybe. There's a connection. I think they played whist.
Whist back then, yeah.
Pinochle.
Canasta. There's a game.
You know, it's hard to play canasta because you have to hold like four decks of cards in your hand. There's, you know, it's a huge number of cards.
So where did you run into this canasta problem?
I don't know. You learn so many interesting things on Twit, don't you find? There have been, this week alone, 3 zero-day Excel flaws. What's going on with Excel? 3!
There's a security hole. It's being exploited.
Who cares what kind of security hole can you have in Excel?
Because if you use Internet Explorer in Windows, it is by default, it will open Office documents from websites. It'll open Word documents and Excel documents. So if I embed an Excel document on a website and somebody's foolish enough to be using Internet Explorer, bam, boom, I got them. They're mine. Larry Ellison has dropped out of college twice, by the way. I don't think he went to Harvard at any point.
Are we going back to the Larry Ellison stories?
Yeah, I just like
ribald tales about Larry Ellison. This week on Twit.
Are there ribald tales about Larry Ellison?
Basically, Ellison has never graduated with a degree from college.
No degree, and that's...
He's held him back considerably, I've noticed.
Obviously, yeah. Obviously. He'd be so much richer. What do you make of this Dan Rather story? He's going to Mark Cuban's HDNet.
You know, it sounds a lot like good night and good luck, only in a much mellower way.
Well, interesting, because apparently Rather, and this is very Nixonian.
Rather.
Dan Rather has been going to watch by himself Good Night, Good Luck. He's apparently seen it 4 or 5 times now, over and over again, bemoaning the good old days of Edward R.
Well, I think he's trying to look for the frequency.
What's the frequency, Kenneth? That's an obscure... I guess, essentially, he's been fired because CBS just won't let him do anything. And we can blame the blogosphere for that because it was Rather's now tainted story about Bush's
service the
that was
Guard.
Exposed by the blogosphere and really, I think, got Dan Rather fired. And now, you know, a year
wasn't it
later,
more an issue of his ratings and them trying not to muddle the audience or trying to redirect?
Could have been that
towards CBS News.
And what is, I haven't seen network news in years, but I think CBS now is, what are they doing? They keep changing.
They've got a guy in holding pattern until Katie takes on.
Katie's
ratings,
the new one.
The ratings under the new guy are up. And then, you know, unless they change their mind, Katie Couric takes over later this
year.
Right, I can't see that working out personally.
Katie Couric?
She's too chipper.
Well, yeah, she's not, you know, it's all, and not, I don't want to.
I know where you're going here. I know where you're going.
Sybil, the soothsayer.
He knows where I'm going, so I'm not going there. I won't do it. I won't do it, Leo. I won't
go there. You know where you're going, John. He's going to say.
Are you mad as hell? Are you not going to take it anymore?
He's going to say, oh, no woman can be credible as a network news anchor. Aren't you going to say
that's not what I was going to say.
He's
going to
say no broad.
But that's pretty close. I don't think that's what it is. I just don't think Katie Couric's the one for that job. I don't. Well, when did she become a talking head? She's a personality.
That's good.
Well,
she's not
maybe that's what the news needs. Walter Cronkite was a personality.
Yeah, I guess he was. I guess that's
well,
true.
Well, was Katie ever a reporter in a true sense?
Oh, probably
of the term?
In some local station
you mean
somewhere.
Like a journalist? Probably not.
I'm not convinced this is a good idea.
Nokia. Uh-huh.
And by the way, Leo, that's not where I was going.
Oh, really? Where were you going?
I was going to talk about somebody at Tech TV that's a kind of a personality guy. They put him into the anchorman slot.
I think Victoria Ricagno should be the next anchor of CBS Nightly News.
Victoria
is she still doing current affairs or something?
No, you're kidding. She's like a hotshot on that news show, Insider.
You're kidding.
Oh, by the way, Dvorak, John, Couric's reporting career began when she was hired by Stan Hooper as a desk assistant for the ABC News Bureau in Washington, D.C. She became an assignment editor at CNN, worked as a general assignment reporter for WTVJ in Miami, Florida, WRC-TV, and NBC station in D.C., won her Associated Press Award and an Emmy. She joined NBC News in 1989 as a reporter from 89 to 91. She filled in for Bryant Gumbel as host of Today. I think she's got some skills.
All right.
We'll at least according to Wikipedia. So
I'm still saying, go to Victoria.
I'm not seeing the same kind of bio that you get out of Rather's background or Cronkite.
He was a real news guy.
This is floating around a bunch of local stations. Come on.
I know, but you're saying this like the whole integrity of the news reporting mechanism in national television still matters.
Forget that.
I think it does. I think it does matter.
I think it should, but I don't think it does in the eyes of the people making the decisions.
No, it's entertainment.
And I also
think they put Rune Arledge in charge of news at ABC, it's become an entertainment division.
I think Katie Couric can read his teleprompter just as good as anybody else.
I'm not sure of that either.
You want to go look at Victoria's Wikipedia article, Victoria Ricagno.
She's so funny. You know, if you ever watch that show on E! Called The Soup, they're on her case constantly. It's hilarious.
Really?
Yeah, she's like a highlighted person.
Apparently in May, she appeared as herself in an episode of CSI Miami. But I'm just loving this picture on Wikipedia of her. I mean, there's a news anchor.
By Frances Bertrand.
Wow. I'd hire her.
Hey, have you guys seen XGL running on OpenSUSE?
Yeah, let's get back to the topics here.
So what about this? This broadcast flag that they want to sneak into Senator Stevens' telecommunications? But what happened with that, by the way? What's the latest on that? Because I only saw on Wednesday they were going up to the committee. Did it pass through committee?
Hold on.
Senator Stevens, who is one of the three oldest men in the Senate. We have the oldest Senate, by the way, in the history
of the U.S. Fart from Alaska? That's that jerk from Alaska, right?
No, Stevens is Alabama.
Oh, there's a guy from Alaska that's pretty... I thought it was Stevens, too.
Stevens is kind of in the pocket, I believe, of the telecommunications industry. He co-wrote the original 96 Telecommunications Act, says, we made some mistakes, and they're redoing it, but they've snuck in a broadcast flag. Remember, the broadcast flag was overturned. The FCC wanted
by
to
the courts,
by the courts,
by votes, by
FCC wanted to put it in. This was a device that would go into all analog TVs, all computers, that would allow a broadcaster to set a flag on any programming saying you may not copy this. And the FCC was going to enforce it, and the court said you can't. So now the Senate is going to send out a bill, the new Telecommunications Act, to make it into law, requiring that you put these things in. So I guess the committee marked it up this week, and I don't know what the latest status is of it.
How many times do we have to shoot this down?
I don't know. It's a terrible idea.
Yeah, when they want to get something through, they just keep running it at you until you're stuck with it. You can't
win. We
should
be highlighting these politicians who keep doing this.
I agree. When
most of the guys are in incumbent areas where they can't get voted out of office, and they've already gerrymandered their place to, you know, in such a way that, except for the senators, but all the House guys have all, you know, they're pretty much, they're locked in. We can't get rid of these people.
Term limits.
Well, this guy, I mean, Stevens has been in there forever. I'm just trying to see what the latest is on this bill.
Hey, did you guys hear the Senate report?
Maybe he's Alaska. No, I thought there was a Stevens.
There's a Stevens in Alaska, too.
All right, I'm confusing which.
That guy in Alaska is terrible.
I'm not sure which Stevens it is.
From Alaska should be ashamed of themselves for.
Oh, you know what? It is Alaska. I thought AAL was Alabama. I'm sorry. I apologize. I was completely wrong.
You should apologize to the people from Alabama. They haven't got a guy that bad.
And I take back the accent. What's the Alaska
accent? Isn't Alaska AK?
I don't know. I'm confused. You're asking too much of me.
Making the FCC the role of gatekeepers of new technologies. Yikes.
Well, apparently the FCC approved taxes for VoIP on Friday.
Really?
Yes.
That was something that was they were long opposed to. Interesting.
Oh, moving these specific kinds of bits across the internet are now suddenly taxable.
This is net neutrality once again.
That's... Oh. Where's
my
Federal
CB Communications radio? CNET's reporting it. FCC voted unanimously at its monthly meeting here in D.C. to require all voice over internet protocol services that connect to the public switch telephone network, as opposed to using peer-to-peer technology like Skype, to contribute to the Universal Service Fund.
So wait a minute. So if you use Skype, you'd have to pay. Oh, it's the Universal Service. That's right. Yeah. So you'd
Which
have
is
to kind of
cool. I mean, that's what subsidized telephone service in the middle of nowhere back in the day.
So Skype to Skype calls wouldn't be affected, and
but Skype to phone would be. Skype to phone.
Anything that basically any time a VoIP connects to a POTS, you get charged.
Anytime a VoIP connects, it sounds like something my parents told me about the birds and the bees. When a VoIP and a POTS like each other, and they connect, you get taxes. Any other stories anybody wants to bring out? I can talk about CEOs earning 262 times the pay of workers, according to the Economic Policy Institute.
Yeah, it's been going on for years.
Who cares? Yeah. They deserve it. Give them more money. They especially deserve it
when they start laying everybody off. That's where they really get their money's worth.
How about wireless USB?
Yeah, that's a mess. The story behind wireless USB is at the last, like, ultra wideband meeting, somebody was like, it's time to start shipping products, and everybody went, hur, yes, we should ship products. And so someday we'll see wireless USB products and
what's a good product.
Part of the issue is spectrum, is that if you're going to make it something that you could sell everywhere, you've got to get the spectrum approved everywhere, which is
the problem is it's ultra wideband is fundamentally a US only technology, right, because of the bandwidth it plays,
right? So you can make it, but you can only sell it here, I guess.
But isn't that particular type of frequency allocation very robust in terms of you could have lots of overlapping devices and...
Well, why don't they use 2.4? Why don't they use the unregulated bandwidth? Is it just too crowded now?
No, it's not like you're not on a band with ultra wideband. It's a whole series of frequencies, and it's a bunch of sputtering that goes on, and you have to... It's a time
jump from one
based
to one
kind of thing. It's not a jumping thing either. It's all at once.
Like frequency hopping spread spectrum.
But
yeah, so that's different. Ultra wideband is also used to be called low detection radio, and it used to be called pulse radio, and it's a sputter. It's a very strange type of radio that some people think is just bogus. It's been around for a long time.
So it may never work.
No, it does work. The military apparently uses it, but they have to crank up. They don't give them enough because everybody else that has those fixed spectrums or, you know, these fixed frequencies, they're upset with the fact that, you know, ultra wideband has to take a whole bunch of this stuff, and then they make a bunch of the ultra wideband people say it's all below the noise level, but these other guys say that's bull. It interferes with the global positioning satellite frequency and everything in between.
It's right now it's a 3 to 10 gigahertz, so we're very, very high.
And right, all at once.
It's all over the place.
And so the FCC said, well, we can let you guys slide, but you don't get a lot of juice. So they won't let them have much power. So the best that you can do with it is stick a device, you know, in an a USB device, and then shoot it over to the printer like 10 feet away.
A cell phone. But so is it better than Bluetooth? I guess it's faster than Bluetooth is the whole point, right?
Oh, it's super fast. It's 400 plus.
But Bluetooth is going to run over it, and a wireless 1394 is going to run over it, and wireless USB. Is going to run over it.
So it's just it's like a cable almost.
It's Ethernet only without wires.
Interesting. Interesting. And I guess you could do is it on low power devices like cell phones, and that's why they're interested.
I've had people in the business tell me that it's really kind of, it has certain flaws. In fact, even Intel's been playing with it, and they've had to kind of redesign the theory. And it seems to be, it's a little iffy, and there's a lot of money that's gone down the drain in this particular technology. It may never actually get very far, although I'll get a letter about that tomorrow.
Well, the IEEE spec is vaporized amidst the battling between the Intel crew and the Freescale crew.
So there's a coffee shop in Vancouver, Washington called Brewed Awakenings. And there's a guy in the coffee shop. He's not in the coffee shop. He's using the coffee shop's Wi-Fi. He's actually sitting in his parking lot. He's been there for 3 months.
Right.
Using their Wi-Fi. So finally, the manager of the store says, this creep, he's been stealing our Wi-Fi for 3 months.
And he hasn't bought a coffee.
So she calls 911.
No, this story, that's more to it than that, Leo. This story is interesting because the coffee shop apparently let the guy do this for a while. Then they went out and asked him if he would just buy some coffee because they were getting sick of it. And so the guy refused to. I mean, if the guy had bought some coffee, I think this would have never happened. And so now we have this precedent. After this, you know, they called the police, told them that they've told the guy to buy some coffee, wouldn't do it. And so the police came out and gave him that kind of citation for stealing, you know, whatever.
Well, and now
it's not locked down, and do they have anything that when you log on to their Wi-Fi, it puts up a splash page that says, you know, conditional for using some Java weasels.
You know what, though? I mean, if you think about it, once you start abusing anything, you know, eventually even the most altruistic person is going to get kind of irritated.
Well, it's the tragedy of the commons, Roger, right? But, you know, the flip side is if you don't put a fence around it,
what is he killing? I mean, he's not killing their bandwidth. He's just sitting out there and surfing.
Maybe he is killing their bandwidth. Maybe he's downloading.
I think they called the cops. The deputies came.
I think they were just annoyed.
They said, knock it off to the guy. He came back, and so they arrested him, and now they find out, by the way, he's a level one sex offender, but that's another matter.
That's an unrelated matter. Disgusting.
You'd think if you were a sex offender that you wouldn't kind of be so contentious in a situation like this.
Wonder what he was wearing.
Well, what he was doing.
So anyway, this whole thing, you know, the fact is a lot of these coffee shops, they put the systems up, and you're right, Patrick. They should. I feel the same way. If you let the signal go out into the street, it belongs to the public. But you know, what does it take to have some little nerd that probably comes in there and has coffee anyway to set the, you know, to go into this router and just find the guy's MAC address and then block him? I mean, this is not rocket science.
Well, yeah, but this is a classic case of, you know, somebody not bothering to do their homework, you know, getting exploited, and then calling 911. And police have better things to do than roust a guy out of your parking lot. You know, call up the ISP who's providing your information. Read the manual for the system, you know.
If they were really clever, they'd have hacked him. I mean, bring in a hacker. Say,
it's not even,
Leo,
it's not even being clever. It's being responsible.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I agree.
Is this the fire department? Right. I can't operate my coffee machine.
No, I agree with you.
Come on. If you're going to sell a service, have a clue.
But let's say
have a clue.
Let's say they didn't use 911. Let's say use the non emergency number. Do they have the right to call the police if this guy's using their Wi-Fi?
Apparently the police felt so. They gave the guy a citation, or they busted him. So they must have had the.
Well, did they give him
a citation for
Wi-Fi, or did they give him a citation for sitting?
The first thing they did is they gave him a warning. They said, "Get out of here." He came back, and then of course, at that point, now they're mad at him, and so they highly arrested him.
this is going to happen more and more until I don't know what's going to resolve.
Well, it's interesting. Well, a lot of doesn't mean that cafes are shutting it off on the weekend.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of. I mean, I hope they don't start locking it down, shutting it off. I mean,
well,
I'll be honest. I was in a beach house this week. There was no internet access. But when I went upstairs, I was able to get on somebody's system, and I use it. I know it's wrong.
It is wrong, Leo. You're a bad person.
It's not wrong. What's wrong about it? Someone leaves their system.
I agree. It's not wrong. As far as I'm concerned, once it gets into the
public domain, leave your front door unlocked.
It was invading my house, my space.
Front door unlocked is different than coming in the house or being outside. If I start throwing stuff out into the street and somebody picked it up, what am I supposed? Hey, you're taking my stuff from the street. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. It's not the same as going in the house.
I liken it to I'm walking down the street and I have some. I've just finished my Fritos. And I got a bag, and there's a trash can on the street. I open it up. I throw the Fritos in. Now, I'm using their utility, but it's a de minimis usage. It's not hurting them in any way.
If it did, they have methods and steps you can go through that are pretty simple.
They could lock
to either prevent
can.
It.
Lock yeah. the trash can.
Yeah. Or if you're a business and you know you're going to have a lot of users and you don't want to deal with using a custom login for everyone, you could simply get a decent router that provides throttling for all the users.
Yeah.
And it's just like that way no one user can be like hogging all the bandwidth.
What's missing from this story that I wish that we're in it is what was the guy doing? I mean, if he was just checking his email and some occasional surfing, in other words, not doing anything that a customer wasn't doing and not tying up the network, then so what?
I think it was annoying. I think it was just annoyed by the guy because he wouldn't buy the coffee. If he would just bought a
cup of coffee. I think they didn't like the guy in their parking lot too, obviously, right? Now you can arrest him for being in your parking lot.
How many hours was this guy sitting in the parking
3 months.
3 months.
Okay.
He lived there, Patrick.
He just towed his car.
He lived there.
Okay. He should have just towed his car.
Well, they do have the 72-hour laws in most places. Right. So.
Australia is going to give every family in the country free internet filtering software.
Yeah.
It's the centerpiece of a $116 million crackdown on internet porn. But the centerpiece is, here's some software. They're not really cracking down on the porn. They're just saying, here, to use this software.
Australia's great. Because anybody can be as like raw and in your face as like the entire country.
I love it.
I mean, especially you listen to their parliamentary debate and stuff.
This is
any debate.
That's true.
Communications Minister Helen Coonan said, "This is the single biggest commitment to protecting families online in the history of the internet in Australia."
It's not bad.
I don't know.
Puts a safe.
This is also the woman. Didn't she refer to one of her fellow cabinet ministers as a grub? And when asked to apologize, she said she apologized if she had offended grubs in any way by associating them with the minister, and then was censured from the floor of parliament for one day.
We need more of that.
Is she a senator?
No, she's a minister. She is. It says Senator Coonan.
Yeah, they have a Senate.
Yeah, so she's both communications minister and a senator. And they expect 2.5 million families to take the software. They don't say what the software is, though. I'm curious.
I'll probably be all around in New South Wales. There's like the internet connection anywhere outside of... Actually, no, I take that back. I'm sure Western Australia has pretty good, but I don't know. I mean, this is a country with legal brothels.
Really?
We're a country with legal brothels, Roger. It's called Nevada.
Certain areas.
No, I mean all of Australia. It's, you know, the...
They have Australian football. They export Fosters because they refuse to drink it themselves.
Fosters is what tourists drink.
I think if they were really committed to this, though, wouldn't they work with ISPs to do the filtering at the ISP level than just giving, you know, handing out software?
But you see, if you do it at the ISP level, then you're censoring what your citizens have available, right? You know, in the United States, that would be a First Amendment violation.
Okay.
You know, if you give people the ability to software, if you make the software free and available, instead of telling people, you know, go to your ISP or go buy some software,
that makes sense.
Then you're putting hands in the tools of the people. I mean, think about it. I mean, what would make more sense, the Child Online Protection Act or giving everybody access to filtering software?
No, you're right. No, you're absolutely right. Don't we try to require libraries to run filtering software?
That's the whole COPPA thing.
that was COPPA. Okay.
Yeah.
But at the same time, COPPA had other issues.
Well, there's all sorts of issues. There's issues with filtering software. You know, if you run most of the filtering software, you can't search for, you know, breast cancer. you know what I mean?
There's, right. There's although they one of the things they are going to do is use these in libraries, so that's similar in that respect.
Oh, excuse me. It was a House of Representatives in Australia where the it was Julia Gillard who called the Minister of Health.
Grub.
I move that the sniveling grub over there not be further heard.
You sniveling grub. I love it. Yeah, has anybody tried Opera 9? They claim 6 million downloads in the first day of availability.
It's really nice.
I like
it. We're actually showing it on Tuesday's
show.
It's
got BitTorrent support, a really good search engine customization. And they've added now, I guess in response to Firefox, you've got skinning that's very similar to Firefox skinning, and you've got widgets, which are essentially extensions. Of course, they don't have the same number yet of extensions as Firefox has, but, and it's free. Do you like it better than Firefox?
Oh, they're not charging at all?
No, they've gone free. Do you like it, Patrick?
It's pretty impressive.
Are you still using Firefox, or have you?
At the moment, but I may be considering switching. There's some other browser activity going on, so I'm kind of running a mini browser environment on my notebook for the next few days.
What does that mean?
You'll figure it out eventually.
Not necessarily.
Or I can have my Dvorak moment, or you can watch DLTV this week and find out the mystery of the next generation browsers.
I'm of mixed feelings about their RSS handling. I mean, they basically have an RSS reader built in, which is pretty...
They've got a BitTorrent tool built in.
Pretty cool, and it's got BitTorrent.
Yeah, but is it the latest version of BitTorrent? And how long would you have to wait for that to be upgraded?
And how do you tell?
Because he just released that version 4.2 that adds...
Well, it's not open source, so, you know, that's exactly right. You're at their mercy.
Sorry, I was.
I mean, it's nice that it's there. That way, you have one less thing you have to worry about if you click on a torrent. Like, at least you know you have something on your computer that'll work with it. But.
Right. How about you know? I'm still waiting for. I guess Kevin probably isn't going to join us, but
he apparently is trying to log in, but I can't see his
see
ID
him.
That he's calling.
I don't see him. I see.
I see him online.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, he said he tried IMing you.
Oh, I didn't see anything.
It's R. Oh, I don't know why I said it.
I know what it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But it looks like he's that handle is offline now. So
he has to approve it.
Ah.
He's invisible.
Well, we have the other issue, which is we don't have enough room for him. So who?
Hey, how much do you just quickly back to that Australian porn software thing? How much the government's spending $116 million on this crackdown?
Yeah.
How much do you think they're spending on that particular piece of software?
Well, they said they expect to hand out 2.5 million copies. So,
is it? I mean, what are they going to turn into? Software or is it?
They don't say, and I wish they did. I don't know what software they plan to use.
I mean, but are they suddenly now going to support this for life and spend money on that as well?
That's a good question.
In my opinion, more up to the internet service providers to at least offer tools like that if users want them, or for the users themselves, just to take it upon themselves to either use an inexpensive or low-cost tool. I don't know. It just seems like a waste. Something the government shouldn't be doing.
You're giving out software doesn't seem like the first thing they should be up to.
I don't even know.
Creating
how to
desk jobs.
Look around you. I mean, you talk about subsidies. I mean, look at water subsidies.
I can't point the finger.
Does anybody by me think the energy's a little low this week on the show?
Are you tired, John? Or you want to take a nap?
Do you want to talk about something really controversial?
Set up a video camera and we can...
You guys are boring me stiff with this stuff.
Well, John, are you running Linux at all in any system?
Linux?
Yeah, I am.
Is he really?
Have you checked out XGL running on Comp is the new Windows manager?
I thought you were joking. What is XGL?
It's basically an extension to the X window, like the X server. So you can basically do what Quartz Extreme does for the Aqua interface.
Oh,
you can accelerate.
You've got transparency and you've got cubes.
Through an OpenGL accelerated.
And have you installed that anywhere, Patrick?
Yeah, we actually ran it on Thursday's show. It's really pretty. We about killed Roger.
Had to set it up, Roger?
Yeah, but it was actually kind of cool. Once you kind of figured out the quirks in SUSE, it all the pieces fall into place.
It's from Novell, so you have to use SUSE for this, or?
They've actually got packages, XGL packages available at Free Desktop.
Cool. Well, I'll have to try it. It does look pretty cool. I'm looking at
it. It's a lot less resource intensive.
Is this the future?
Nah. It's just eye candy. What's the, you know?
I was arguing that it was a nice toy, but Robert actually had a couple of good reasons to use it.
For gaming, maybe?
Oh, for hiding porn at work. Great. Because you could rotate the desktop immediately.
Maybe Australia
and then have your Excel sheet on one side of the cube. And
yeah.
Yeah, we could also point out iCandy on top of a solid platform is pretty much the entire, you know, OS X and or Windows Vista.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
You know, guiding light.
Does Apple just do really good cooling on their systems? Because that's one thing I'll notice on these new 3D desktops is that my 3D card is now in 3D mode all the time. And
it's hot.
The fan turns.
That fan kicks up, and that's now becoming the single loudest component in a system.
Huh. Mm. Interesting. Apple solves that by not putting...
I don't think Force Extreme is that intense.
Yeah, I think that's...
The new core image
is. Exactly right, yeah.
So.
Still, it looks gorgeous. And I don't know. It is a lot of eye candy, but there might be some usefulness there.
Yeah, I actually blogged it when it was first introduced. People can look it up on the dvorak.org/blog.
So,
way to undercut me, John. Thanks, man.
Hey, he blogged it, but Patrick's got video.
Yes.
Video is.
We still got the working machine.
Well, that's an advantage. I'd recommend people out there go to both sites.
Hey, I like that even better. While they're at it, they can go to crankygeeks.org.
All right.
Let's go plug all the time.
Plug fest. I got nothing.
We
were going to launch the... you're listening to my show, so I can't plug anything.
No, you got your other million shows. You
got like
have
nine shows on twit.tv now.
Yeah. With the new website.
We can probably name it after Security Not.
Thanks, John.
Mac Break.
Outside the Net.
Mac Broken.
Mac Daddy.
The Daily. Well, don't do anything with the Daily Gizwiz because that's just too obvious.
Oh.
We do have a launch, a website launch coming up. I mean, it's not Dig 3.0, but the new website is ready to launch, and we're going to tie it into the Dell campaign, which was supposed to launch today on this show, and I got lazy, and I just said, hey, guys, can you put it off because I want to take a vacation. So I think the Dell thing will launch in a couple of weeks, and with it, the new site.
What are you using for a content manager?
Drupal.
Again?
Yeah, I like Drupal. And
well, what's different about it? What are you going to do that's different?
Well, it's a new design, and it's got a lot more capability.
You have outside people working on it? Or
I do. I have an... Oh, God, I couldn't do this. No, I have...
Drupal's pretty brain dead.
I can run our site, but the redesign came from Amber MacArthur's team at archetype.ca, and the folks who are working on the Drupal engineering are really a great team called Lullabot, and they've done a great job. It's very nice.
Lullabot?
Lullabot. Lullabot. Look, it's not Dig 3.
Plug. Are you paying them, or are they doing it for plugs?
No, I'm paying them.
Okay.
And it's not Dig 3.0. I mean, that's a major, more than just a redesign. I mean, that's a major, this is just going to be a different looking site with some additional features, but not significant.
What new features are we going to have here?
Mostly for me.
Oh, great.
The workflow is built into the website. You'll see some differences. Not much. You know, the comments are moved around in a different area. You'll be able to see all the episodes. There'll be a flash player on every episode, so you can listen to it from the website. Things like that.
Who's paying for that bandwidth? Is that pricey?
AOL.
Comes through AOL.
It all comes through AOL.
Okay.
Yeah. AOL. Well, it depends. AOL's doing some of the shows.
Are you getting a cut? Are you worried about your cut being diminished, John? Tell us.
The reason I'm asking is because I think a lot of people out there who listen to this show are in the content managers. They use one of the blogging software packages, WordPress or Drupal or Joomla or any of these other things. And I think we should probably discuss it a little more in detail, so people out there can say, oh, well, that's interesting. No wonder I can't do that at home.
I've actually been woefully behind in writing up how we record the shows now, because we've changed it since the last time I wrote it up, and how it's produced and all that stuff. And I will do that. There's going to be a fairly long
document. Are you talking about the regular shows, the Skype shows, the local shows,
shows? It's all different everywhere. And I do like Drupal. Drupal's been great. One of the things
Drupal's
Drupal will give us the capability, you know, right now it automatically handles the PayPal and stuff, the donations. But one of the things it's going to allow us to do is a much more e-commerce and private, not private, but sites. Part of the site will be open to members only, and Drupal handles that very well. And also, it has each of you have a blog on there if you want it. I mean, it allows multiple
authors. Yeah, we never
authors.
Use it, do we?
No, you don't, but that's all right.
Actually, I need the. Didn't we replace the passwords get replaced when you moved on to Drupal?
I don't think so. No, we've always.
Yeah, you never told us anything, though. You're keeping us off the blog.
You're keeping it secret. Yeah, I still have your wacky icon. I mean, you know, and we. What else? We're going to have new album art. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. Laurie LeBeau Walsh is doing our album art from illustrations, original illustrations by Nitrosack and Snaggy of The Joy of Tech. I got to get a picture of you, Roger. Actually,
if somebody out there wants to see the most interesting Drupal implementation I've seen for a while, you should go to the last redesign of the Onion.
Are they Drupal?
Yeah, I know. You look at it, you go, my God, it looks like the New York Times redesign. It's amazing what you can do with Drupal.
Well, the new 4.7, which just came out, is incredibly powerful. It's really,
which one?
Drupal 4.7 is just very nice. I didn't realize they were using Drupal on the Onion.
That's yeah, cool. I found that out when I was doing some research on 5-column layouts.
Yeah, well, one of the nice things, and I don't want to get too inside baseball here, but one of the nice things about 4.7, the new version of Drupal, is it's not columnar anymore. You can have arbitrary regions anywhere of any kind. And that's going to help us
all over.
Yeah, that's going to help us a lot. All right, let me see. I think if I dump you, Roger.
Yep.
Go ahead, just dump me. I don't care.
Poor Roger.
Poor Roger. I might be able to. Thank you, Roger.
Sure.
It's always great to have you on. I'm really glad you could be here.
But goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Roger.
Goodbye. He's glad to go. Are you kidding? He's glad to be off this podcast.
Back into the hot tub, man.
Back to the hot tub. You know, he was picking up chicks. People could see this on the video at 57. They could see him going off and picking up women. Maybe I shouldn't say that.
Roger's a player.
He's a
smooth operator, baby.
He's very, very smooth. Well, Kevin's not answering, so I guess I punted Roger prematurely. Before we get Kevin, if we can get Kevin on, I'll continue to try. Any thoughts about Dig 3? You went to the party, didn't you?
I was there.
Were you there? Yeah. Patrick and Robert?
Roger and I both went.
And Roger?
Excuse me, Robert and Roger and I all three went.
What'd you think?
It's pretty. It's smart. It's going to be interesting to see what Calcanis' response is. Calcanis is not copying responses over at...
I loved Kevin's line. Oh, Jason should have waited to steal our code because we're going to make some big changes.
It's clean. They've done a lot of stuff with it, actually allowing you to track what your friends are doing inside of Dig 3.0 that I think is going to be pretty popular.
Community-oriented stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's neat.
The visualization tools, I think, were the highlight, even though those won't be out for a couple of months.
Can we talk about those, or are they hush-hush?
No, they've already been blogged.
Semi-publicly, yeah. I don't know if anybody put a video up, actually showing them in action?
This is the Flash.
I've got a video, but we haven't run it yet, because it was after the last show.
This is the Flash tool that you were talking about?
Right.
Yeah.
What does it do?
Oh, boy. It's
one
kind
put
of an
up a series of bubbles that each bubble represented stories that were currently being dug, and then it would also show you the people in real time who were digging them.
And the bubbles rise up as they're getting...
Or it becomes kind of like that linked view where the bigger the bubble, the more activity currently is surrounding it, and then interconnected lines would tell you how people jump from one story to the next, and by the thickness of those lines, you would see how many people were reading that one story and then jumped to the secondary story. It was just lots of cool visualizations like that, in addition to like a variable top, say, top 10 to top 100 view of the front page as people are digging on all the content that's currently available.
Kevin, can you tell what we're talking about?
Yes.
And we have Kevin Rose in a bucket.
Hello.
Yeah, are you're on your laptop mic, I guess, huh?
Yes, sorry about that. I'm at the office.
That's okay. Your new cavernous office is obviously.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's kind of everyone's around here doing last minute preparations for our big push on Monday. So
Monday the new site 3 is coming out, but not the features that we were just talking about, which are these kind of real-time flash digs, kind of super dig spy on steroid stuff.
Right, so that stuff is coming out mid-July. We have to ramp up and buy some more servers to have all that stuff.
Yeah, I bet. That's cool. So tell us what's new in Dig 3.0.
Well, it's pretty much we're expanding into a bunch of different areas that we haven't been into in the past. It's expanding outside of just technology-based news.
Taking some heat from the Dig regulars over that.
Well, you know, it's actually we've gotten a lot of push from the users of Dig right now. They've been submitting stories about, you know, world and business or world news and movie-related news and music. And it's one of those things that the community will moderate that stuff down on the existing site because they know it doesn't fit into any given topic on the site.
Right.
And so we're expanding to a bunch of different other areas. But one of the things that we really want to do is make sure that the core community of people that use Dig today still have the experience that they know and love. And so we've given every single user on the site the ability to remove any of the topics that they're not into. So if you could care less about any of the stuff that we add, all you have to do is uncheck a box, click on save, and then you'll have just that technology view that you did the day before.
So the people who are complaining, which obviously is just a loud minority, they don't have to worry. It could look exactly like the old Dig.
Exactly.
Yeah, they don't have to see all the new stuff. Are you worried? I guess some of the concern is that you might dilute the audience because right up to now it's been a geeky audience.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of strange because over the last year we've really seen that kind of change and shift with all these new users that we've been adding on a daily basis. So we get a lot more mainstream stuff than we used to. It used to be hardcore, just, you know, Linux-only kind of stuff going on the site and about, you know, creating server clusters or whatever it may be. But now, you know, we get a lot of videos, a lot of YouTube stuff, and, you know, it's been all over the place. So it's clear that we need to really expand and push out these other areas.
Alexa, according to Alexa, you're bigger than Slashdot now? Does that match your own
statistics? Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. I think that right now we see about 1 million unique visitors a day.
A day. Jesus.
And that that results in about 9.5 million pages served a day. So
how many uniques a month?
That's a good question. I'll have to find out exactly. I think it's like 9.5 or something like that.
Well, I imagine, I mean, I certainly visit every day, but I don't think everybody would visit every day. So if you're getting 1 million uniques a day, yeah, it probably is something like that.
Yeah, I think it's right around there.
Wow. I mean, that's considerably
more. Actually, sounds like it'd be more than that. The you know, the problem that you have with Alexa, by the way, is that they don't take into account anybody who has uses Firefox, which unfortunately is where I'm sure Slashdot, for example, probably has the majority of its people using Firefox.
Yeah, but I'm sure Dig does too. I mean,
maybe.
I can tell you, actually, we're right in Firefox. We're about 65% of the users that visit the site.
Yeah, that's pretty standard with the high tech.
Yeah, that's what our site is
stuff.
As well. Yeah.
But that's going to change. If you start opening it up, because you're gonna, you know, these people that do all the kind of entertainment oriented digs, they're gonna be all Windows IE users.
Yeah, without a doubt, I'm sure we'll draw in a whole different crowd.
Which will actually make your numbers look even bigger on Alexa if you're gonna go by those only.
Yeah, but we don't need to go by Alexa. We got the numbers.
No, somebody should have to. Does anybody subscribe to the Nielsen's?
The Net Nielsen,
sort of.
You mean? The Net Nielsen?
Yeah, Net Nielsen's.
No, I don't. Do you, Patrick? You know those numbers?
I tend to find Alexa to be a very curious choice.
It's just the only one that everybody can publicly see. It's free.
Right.
And it's probably okay for, well, maybe not, for, you know, kind of a sense of scale, if not actual numbers.
It's interesting because, you know, internally when we look at our own numbers, obviously there's some differences there. But if you see, if we have a really, you know, a big story hits the wire about Dig or something like that, and we see a spike internally, it'll also be reflected on Alexa. So there, it's somewhat, you know, it's nice to have a free tool that you can compare yourself to other sites and other. So that's all we look at it as, not real hard factual information.
Well, I think also people agree that the Dig effect now has you know, completely outpaced the Slashdot effect. I mean, for a while, you know, getting hit by, you know, getting linked by Slashdot was deadly to a site, and now it's pretty clear. In fact, I was talking to Vincent Ferrari, who was the AOL cancel guy. You know, he's got that video of him, or audio of him trying to cancel AOL, and which is hysterical to listen to, because the guy on the other end, John, the AOL call rep, just does everything he can do to keep Vincent from canceling, including asking Vincent, who's 30, if his dad can come on the line. Can I talk to your dad, please?
Wow. I had a similar problem with Vonage.
Yeah,
well, those guys are impossible to get rid of.
Yeah, I mean, that's every company tries to keep customers, but there are ways and there are ways. Anyway, this Vincent told me that you know, he'd put this up on the site and it wasn't a big deal until it got dug and just took off. In fact, Matt Lauer interviewed him on NBC and everything. So clearly Dig has a lot of impact.
That's cool. Yeah, I saw him on CNN. It was pretty
crazy. He was on CNN. You know, it's funny because somebody sent me the phone number of John, the call rep from Ogden, Utah. John lost his job. You know, AOL fired him. And I feel bad for John, because John was just doing what AOL told him to do, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they're instructed to actually, you know, act like that and try to retain the customers.
You know, I always take these firings with a grain of salt. I'm always reminded, I'll tell an anecdote here. Pat McGovern used to, when he was running Computer World, and I think he's almost done this a little bit with InfoWorld, but not to any extreme, he used to always have these columnists who were like these guys who dug up all this dirt. And then when it like offended an advertiser or something, McGovern was okay. The guy's fired. I'm firing him. But the guy never existed. So they changed the pseudonym, and the guy's working again the next day.
I think this guy actually was fired because we called him. I tried to get him on the radio show, and he said, "Well, I've hired an attorney, and the attorney has told me not to talk to anybody." Of course, maybe that maybe that's part of the AOL strategy. I don't know. Anyway, in any event, I did talk to Vincent, and he's a big Twit fan, by the way. In fact, I didn't. The truth is, I just mentioned it on the radio show, and he called in immediately, and we put him on. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun story. And I imagine, I would guess, that because of all the attention AOL's received because of this, now would be a good time to cancel, right? I mean, it'd be pretty easy to get through. Right?
No, Leo, no. We work with these people.
No, I'm not canceling AOL. I love AOL.
Hey guys, can you hold on for once? Or I'll be back in just 1 second.
Sure.
Somebody's smoking the pernicious weed outside my garage, and I need to stop them real quick.
That would explain the sluggishness that you were worried about, John, earlier.
Maybe.
So you had a party, Kevin. First of all, you had two parties, one at the beach house to celebrate the anniversary. What is it, the second or third anniversary of Google?
Of you mean the Dignation?
It was Diggs at Google. Yeah, I just promoted you to the owner of Google.
Yeah,
of Dig. Yeah,
yeah. That was the one at the beach, LA, was just our 1 year.
1 year.
Dignation. Yeah, 1 year with Dignation.
No, oh, Dignation. Got it.
Yeah.
And then you had a party on Thursday for the press to show 3.0, which I'm sorry I couldn't make, but we've been talking.
I never even got invited.
Oh, that's not true. We sent you an invite.
You must have gotten invited.
John gets no spam, and he gets no invites.
Well, spam filter.
I would have made it if I had it on the calendar.
I'll call you next time, John, and tell you. I couldn't. I was out of town. I couldn't make it. But it sounds like it was a great party. Did you get a big turnout, Kevin?
Yeah, there's about 140, 150 people from the press and just, you know, friends in the industry.
About 105 degrees.
It was hot.
It was a hot
week. It was so hot.
Where was
one of those
this
days?
Oh, it was in San Francisco?
Yeah, it was in San Francisco, downtown, this bar called The New.
Oh, on that hot day.
Yes, that hot day, exactly.
It was hot.
A really hot day. Yeah. Last
the
week
one
was like
hot
95.
Day.
I was at Stinson Beach, and it was hot at the beach, so that's how hot it was. It was really hot.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. It's really exciting. What is it going to take to get 3.0 up? Or, I mean, is it it's all done and it's ready and you're just going to flip a switch tomorrow morning? Or
I wish it was that easy. It's actually a very, very complex process. It takes about 45 minutes. It's going to start at about 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. And it's one of those things where there's a bunch of DB changes that have to be made. And a bunch of code has to be pushed, and it's all like Subversion, and they push.
Oh.
You know, it is insane.
Good luck.
Because we're moving to a different type of, we're moving off a standard kind of MySQL structure to kind of a sharding based structure, and so it's a different type of file system that.
Why are you doing that? Is it more robust or?
It just helps you scale long term.
Scale, yeah.
So it's one of those things where this is a big, big deal for us.
Oh,
so,
man. Are you worried about
it? It's going to be tricky.
Yeah, it could be very tricky. You could be down.
Well, it's one of those things where you internally, we basically for like the last week have been doing trial runs.
Fire
every
drills.
Single morning. And today was our first really successful day of doing the push without any problems. So that's great.
Well, I logged on a couple of days ago and you were down for briefly. Was that
Yeah, we had to. We did a small little update to kind of accommodate for some 3.0 pushes. So it's really tricky now. It's at the point to where when you're on, I don't know what we're on now, but 75 or 80 servers.
Jeez.
To move and migrate that to a new version and then make sure it all syncs up and add an additional, you know, 20 or so servers. It's just, it's a challenge.
Is this all new code? Are you getting rid of all the old Dig code or is it just
it's all rewritten from scratch because it's taking advantage of the new file system. So, but luckily we hired a really good guy here a few months ago, Scott Baker, who is one of the Apple guys that helped them scale iTunes and whatnot.
Oh,
so,
wow. Great.
He came to us from Apple, and then the guy that does our DBA stuff came to us from Friendster, and you know the kind of problems that they ran into. So he's helped solve a lot of their challenges.
Scaling, because they grew very, very fast.
Yeah.
Almost overnight.
They had some major issues back in the day. So.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. Congratulations on your
thanks.
Your success. And we're glad you could come on. I won't keep you because I'm sure you have other things.
We have you. At least we have one guy on the Twit thing that is super successful.
Yeah.
It's good to know.
Nice try. Guys.
So, what do you think of the Netscape? It really is a clone. I mean, they really copied you as closely as they could, I think.
Yeah, they just did it a little too early. They should have waited till after we had version 3 out the door.
Wait, but, tell me about this. I don't know anything about it.
Oh, you didn't see it?
No.
It's www.netscape.com. What is it? beta.netscape.com. It's a new portal page, and basically they're doing Dig.
Really?
They've got you vote. Well, it's a little different because they do have editorial control of the top part. So they have editors. If you go to www.beta.netscape.com, they have editors, but.
So what do they call the digs?
Votes.
Votes, yeah.
What?
Votes. It's just, it looks, I mean, it's right in the same
votes.
Spot. They've got a button.
Is it a box? Is it square?
Yeah.
Oh, please. Couldn't they make it round? God.
It's a little different because to vote for it, you just check the checkbox. Let me ask you this, Kevin. Did you look at it and say, oh, I could steal that?
No. There's nothing on there I want from Netscape.
Is there any look and feel thing you can do here to maybe, like, you know, get a little law firm involved?
Well, you know, we have stuff that we've filed as far as, not that have to do with the look and feel, but as far as our promotion algorithms that we've filed for patents
on. Oh, good. Patents?
So,
great.
That's something that we'll be looking to in the future. But right now, it's just like, I mean, Netscape has been going downhill for the longest time, and they're just trying to find a way to revive it. You know, it's one of those things where it's majority of traffic are people that don't know how to change their homepage and have Netscape 4.0. So,
well, that's what they talk about. We've got whatever it was, 8 million registered, or whatever the huge number was of registered users.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, they're not. They're people who haven't figured out how to
change their homepage.
Yeah, that's who they are. Right.
Well, I don't know. Netscape, I thought that was the internet.
I thought it was great that for at least the first week, Kevin Rose was the number one story. That picture of Kevin and
that was awesome.
I thought that was really great.
It is cool though, the fact that, you know, AOL is kind of validating the space.
It validates.
They believe in social news. So
yeah, if you're good enough to steal from, that means you're doing pretty darn well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, Kevin. I can't wait till Monday, tomorrow morning, and.
Good luck. Hopefully,
cross your fingers.
When it's done, what time do you think it'll be done?
It should be done by around 6 a.m.
Pacific.
So
by 9 o'clock, by the time people start showing up for work on Monday in New York City, Dig will be up.
The keg will be cracked at the Dig offices.
Yeah, are you going to be up all night tonight?
No, I got to get to bed early so I can get up early. But if it's not up by 7 or 8, you know that we're having some issues. But we'll work through them no matter what they are.
Well, we'll be crossing our fingers and thinking about you. And yeah, it is, as John said, it's nice to know at least one of us is doing okay. Congratulations.
I can see like Robert and I looking at each other across the bay, going, "Huh." How come, like, you know...
Where's our 2.6 million?
You guys own... No. Fucking Kevin's smart, and he went after
he
it.
He deserves,
you know,
it.
And he's got vision.
Complaining. I am not.
No, I'm just laughing, because, like, you guys don't consider yourself successes, and you guys own homes in the Bay Area and have careers.
Yeah, totally. I live with 3 other roommates in, like, in a nasty apartment.
Oh, okay. Well, your time will come.
And, you know, Kevin, if you hired a maid, the apartment would be a lot safer.
That's true.
Especially the bathroom.
You know how bad it is.
All right, Kevin. Hey, good luck. Congratulations. And we look forward to seeing it tomorrow morning. And
thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Right and early, 6 a.m., you'll be done. I know you will. That's a scary thing to do, though.
Things never work out.
Now that Kevin's gone, we can say that'll never
work. They never work out. It'll be 10. If they get it done in an hour, it'd be a miracle.
You know, I'm encouraged that they've been rehearsing all week. I mean, but it is.
He's got some really together guys.
It sounds
there.
Like he does. He's got really good people. So that's exciting. That's neat. Actually, the truth is, we're all doing pretty well. I mean, Patrick, it's obvious we just had, you know, I mean, we've talked about
we
DLTV
all
pale a lot.
By comparison to Kevin Rose.
Well, he's the, you know, did you see that I forgot to ask him about this, that. Who was it? Was it Business 2.0? Somebody picked him as the one of the top 50 movers and shakers of 2006. Yeah. Who was that picked him?
Well, they were hoping to improve their Dig rankings. More traffic.
Yeah, that's...
the old
media.
It was
actually a really nice interview with Kevin.
That was great. Who was it? Was it Business 2.0?
Business 2.0.
Yeah. And he was up there. I mean, they paired him with... who? There was another
50 people who matter. Business 2.0. The new media.
The new media. I mean, he was up there with.
Hey, it's when he gets his picture on the cover of Time magazine. I mean, that's when he made it. This business 2.0 is a joke.
We should also point out that the number one in the 50 who matter now business 2.0 list was you, followed by Sergey Brin and Larry Page.
Not me, you, all of you, Y-O-U, everybody.
The consumer is creator.
Yeah.
Rupert Murdoch, Steve Jobs, Susan.
You know what's more interesting?
Desmond
same old.
The 10 people who didn't make the list, like Linus Torvalds and people like that, I thought that was very interesting. That was, to me, more interesting. But these lists are bogus.
Hey, you know, we used to do these lists in all these magazines I've worked for, and I know how they work, and Patrick knows, and anyone who's worked in a publication knows. You get about six guys sitting around, usually during lunch. You got the old list from last year. You sit around. What do you think we should do? Ah, we should move this guy up to number three. Yeah, that'll make number six really mad. That'll be really funny. And then you just do that until you get the list together, pass it around a little bit, and everyone says, yeah, and then they print it. Come on, it's a bunch of BS.
I like it. Couple more stories we should get to before we wrap these things up. Apple, did you see the price of Shake? Apple drops it from $2,500 to $500. That's pretty remarkable. In fact, good news for anybody who does compositing. I mean, that's a very expensive program, very good program. I can see that none of you care in the least.
Oh, the problem is we're all looking around thinking what we need is Alex to tell us is why this is going to shake.
Yeah, Alex. We'll listen to this week in media.
Where's Alex?
No, he's shown us Shake many times on Call for Help, and it's amazing
really cool
program.
I mean,
for $500, you're going to see kids doing some amazing stuff. All right, another story. Netflix thinking about moving to the download business. They want to introduce a proprietary set-top box with an internet connection. This is the same thing Disney was doing, isn't it?
Sounds like Akimbo to me.
It sounds like Akimbo. Same idea. That's Will Hurst's company, where you put a box on the TV set, and uses the free bandwidth.
They're actually moving away. They've given away the Akimbo boxes to RCA, and they're pushing an add-on for the Windows Media.
Ah, interesting.
Systems. I think that's the way to go. I don't think these standalone boxes for just downloading stuff.
Who's going to want to buy another set?
It's idiotic.
Box.
Everyone has a computer.
Yeah. Disney's been doing it for a while. They say that they're slowly.
Did they ever get out of trials with it?
They did. I mean, I understand they've introduced it in some other markets in LA now. So it must be doing okay.
The Movie Beam stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's exactly the same.
Pretty funny. Well, I mean, the Akimbo is over
Disney,
the internet.
Disney
Movie Beam is like the cousin to the blanking interval
right,
transfer.
They use
stuff.
VBI.
I don't think they actually use VBI, do they?
Well, something
I thought
like
it was
something like that. They used to use the PBS stations. They use their extra bandwidth on their sidebands or something to do this stuff.
See, and that's like close to 20 megabit or over 20 megabit. That they're able to deliver
better than
digital
internet
broadcast hours.
Wow.
Aha. MovieBeam does not use VBI. It uses a proprietary RF technology from dotcast.com.
RF? Oh, then they are. Then they're probably using the PBS stuff.
Brother.
Hey, it's straight from HDB.com. Those guys are all right.
That's got to be true.
Except when they talk trash about Robert.
Any other interesting stories, or are we just going to go back to Windows Live and watch the traffic? We've come full
circle. Traffic.
Thanks, guys, for being here. Dvorak.org/blog, where John is going to rush off and do his story on, what is it, XGL?
Well, I know it's already been on. I know I did that like months ago.
Months
I had one
ago.
Of the first.
Months ago.
Months ago, literally. I had one of the early demos of it, and I blogged it with the movie that they have, or linked to their movie.
Yeah, they have that Cube movie and stuff like that. But you could also see it with Robert and Roger and Patrick on DL.TV. That's where they live these days. I didn't realize, I just realized now, the three of you are working together now.
Yeah.
Because you hired Roger.
Yeah.
So now this has become the DLTV podcast.
Not quite.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, you guys still got a cranky geek here, so.
There's one cranky
indeed
geek. It's all the ZDTV guys.
Annalisa's in there somewhere.
Annalisa's.
Yeah, I love that you hired Annalisa. That's great. She's the old producer for GameSpot, right?
The devil you know is better than the devil you don't. That's why I hired Roger.
He is a devil, isn't he? Thank you, guys, and we'll see you next time. Another twit is in the can.
My friends, my twits, are you ready? Yeah, the twit army.
I don't know what the answer is. I really don't.
Let me introduce the table mates. John C. Dvorak.
Kevin Rose, Patrick Norton, David Prager, Robert Heron. I got the Twit Army behind me. Microsoft poo-pooed it. Denied it, said, no problem. It's been on your system. You're dead. It's a fool's paradise.
This is amazing.